it's going to be sector specific, but fundamentals are strong. They continue to be strong. And watching the yield curve in the macro environment and how that impacts liquidity into our sector is really going to be the driving force to see how well we could do.
Hello and welcome to The REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Balsam-Cheeto. My guest today is Steve Loffman, Managing Director at Raymond James. Steve has spent the majority of his career working with REITs and private real estate companies. Steve is also one of the program directors for Nareit's REITWISE Law, Accounting and Finance Conference in Hollywood, Florida, that starts on March 19th. He will also be a panelist on the Capital and Real Estate Market panel at REITWISE. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah.
Steve, how would you describe the broader contours of the REIT capital market landscape today?
Sure. Great question. And I would say real estate capital markets as a whole, and then of course, REIT capital markets have been a little bit challenged over the last several years, couple of years for sure. We've seen a thawing in the last, let's call it 3-4 months, really starting in November of last year, where there's been about $10 billion of bond issuances for REITs, and then a little bit of equity capital markets activity as well. So it's been a little bit challenging with REITs trading at a discount to NAV as a broad statement. But as time moves on, and if we believe in the yield curve, which I certainly do, I think we'll be making strides to get closer to NAV from an equity perspective. House view for Raymond James and for myself is that the debt markets were going to heal first. We're seeing that happen in real time, especially with $10 billion of issuance in the last 3-4 months. And we think equity is going to be coming at the second half of this year.
What are you seeing in terms of REIT debt and equity issuance that you've referenced, and how does it compare between property sectors?
Yeah, so great question again, and it's really sector specific in terms of equity. Debt is more robust and more available for the last, let's call it, again, 4 months. We've seen it across all property sectors, right? We've seen it in every single one of the major food groups, and then, of course, in some bespoke property sectors as well. The equity is a little bit different, right? You have industrials, manufactured housing, net lease, trading closer to their NAVs, which is a green light, red light situation for these REITs of when they can raise equity capital and it be cost effective for them and allow them to continue to build on NAV and be creative. And so you see those sectors more active or will be more active in the capital raising in the near term from an equity perspective. From a debt perspective, you've seen a fair bit of V repricing in LTV, meaning value and loan to value. And there is this debt wave over the next couple of years that is coming due specifically, obviously, in multifamily and all the other major food groups as well, the major property sectors. And because of that, and there's been less issuance over the last couple of years, I think we've seen REITs and investors in the debt capital markets being willing to find a common ground where it's accretive or attractive for where we are in the cycle for these REITs to take on this debt, and then also for investors to place that capital as well. So we'll continue to see most sectors be effective in the debt capital markets. The question is going to be really where can equity be placed in an accretive way?
And Steve, what would you say are some of the key themes that you're seeing in terms of public versus private real estate investments? We hear a lot of talk about that today. So just wondering what your thoughts are.
There's always a fair bit of arbitrage between the private and public markets. And over the years, you'll see that gap either converge or expand. Right now, it's a little bit in the way, or the positive in the way, of the private capital markets that are being valued. And again, this is an overgeneralization, of course, but they're being valued more attractively than the public capital markets. And that's largely not necessarily the value of these REITs or the share prices of these REITs, but more of the liquidity for these REITs at this moment in time. And I do think over the next, let's call it 3 to 6 to 9 months, we'll see that convergence where we get closer to NAV and therefore closer to private capital markets valuations. And so I think we're going to see this convergence over that same timeframe between private market values coming down a fair bit and NAV and equity share price for public REITs coming up a fair bit. And then we'll meet somewhere in the middle of that. But we do expect to see that over the next, let's call it 6 to 12 months.
What about macro factors? How do you see them impacting the level of CRE transaction activity in the months ahead?
Yeah, materially. We've seen a fair bit of movement, obviously, with regard to macro factors, biggest including certainly rate and what the Fed's thinking and doing, as Jerome Powell is talking right now and being interviewed at this moment in time. It's really interesting, right? I think the broader view of the interplay between interest rates and real estate values are certainly very important, but they're overstated over time. If you look historically, REITs and real estate tend to perform throughout and always come out the other side looking pretty rosy. I think we've seen this dramatic pullback in REIT valuation because of where rates have gone, and that's been a big factor there. Inflation was another big factor that I think was impacting REIT valuation and CRE activity. We've seen fundamentals of the real estate be pretty darn good, actually, right? So using multifamily as a proxy for this conversation, the assets themselves, the fundamentals themselves, whether they're slowing a little bit or going to be growing in the near term, they're doing pretty darn well. And we're seeing actually growth in rents and leases. There are certain submarkets that have oversupply, of course, but over the next 2-3 years, as there's no supply delivery, they're going to do just fine. And I think there's been this overcorrection based on where rates are and where the belief where a recession was coming in, and whether there's going to be a recession or not, I'm not smart enough, but I certainly believe that we've, as a fundamental, the fundamentals of the markets have been performing significantly better of the asset classes. And so I think we'll continue to see these asset classes do really well. Again, industrial, manufactured housing, net lease, multifamily, et cetera. And then you have more challenged sectors that are thawing a little bit and fighting their way through. But I think it'll continue to be a slog with regard to what's happening at the Fed level. And once the Fed and Jerome Powell start pulling rate off, we should see a continued thaw in share pricing and CRE transactions more broadly.
And last year was a particularly active year for REIT M&A. We saw some big names coming together in the market. Do you expect to see more of that this year?
Yes, last year was a remarkable moment in time for M&A. I think there was about $25 billion of M&A done in the private and the public markets for REITs. And it made a lot of sense based on where we were in the cycle and seeing that CRE was not really transacting all that much in 23. And so there was this disconnect, as we continue to see, between share price and actual value or belief of value. And as that continues, yes, I do believe that there will be a fair bit of M&A, both this year and probably next year. We're off to a little bit of a slower start than we were in 23, but I do believe there will be a fair bit of that in 24. And again, as long as there continues to be this arbitrage or disconnect between actual value and share price, and there's capital in the market, which we're seeing, and we're seeing more of that each day, meaning there's capital for folks to take this private, or frankly, or for public companies to buy other public companies and use share price as a capital source. As long as those are methodologies that are going to be continue to be used, we'll see a fair bit of that M&A. I think we'll be seeing similar levels to what we saw last year. I do.
What about IPOs? The recently announced American Healthcare REIT IPO was the largest REIT IPO in 6 years. Do you think that's maybe a sign of things to come?
So really great question, and I hope so. I certainly hope so as a banker, selfishly. Couple thoughts on that at a high level. So that was a well-done IPO in the sense that it priced and it traded up, and it absolutely, quote-unquote, worked as an IPO. That's the first IPO in a very long time, and it's a sizable company as well. You know, we're certainly aware of companies that are looking to go public. It goes back to that same point I've been talking about a fair bit, which is the arbitrage between where share price is trading currently and where NAV is. As we continue to see recovery in the public markets, which we certainly believe that there will be, and prices get closer and hopefully above NAV over time, we'll see more IPO. The IPO backlog is probably as big as it's ever been, which is a good thing. That's a good fact pattern. In terms of, is there a market or a window to get public is really the bigger question. I certainly think there will be. Again, we've seen these cycles, and in these periods of time where there's been very few IPOs, and then it thaws and opens up a window that we're able to get through. And you'll typically see in a good IPO year, probably 4 REIT IPOs. That's a good year, right? I think there could be 6 to 8 companies trying to come through if we were to get a window. And there is a lot of rumor and excitement about some larger companies that are interested in coming through the window if and when it presents itself. To answer your question in a couple sentences, I do believe there will be more IPOs. I think they're waiting their turn in line, if you will. And I think as the public markets continue to thaw and share prices continue to increase, we will see significantly more IPO activity, which will be good for the sector.
Wait to see what happens there.
For sure.
Finally, Steve, any other themes or issues that you see impacting REITs in 2024?
You know, certainly, I think the biggest issue, and we've talked about it already, is macro trends and how that impacts liquidity and thus share price. We're seeing so much of that on a day-to-day basis. There have been a lot of PMs that we've spoken with who haven't really been as active as they would have liked to have been over the last couple of years in the REIT space. And those are REIT dedicated folks that have played their names that they know and trust and love, but they haven't really branched much outside that because of where we've been in the last couple of years. And the generalist investor who has played various sectors of REITs has been hesitant to play REITs in a major way because of interest rates and macro factors. So I believe that as the market continues to heal, as liquidity is there, but as the real estate prices or REIT prices continue to heal, we'll see more liquidity and more flow from a capital markets perspective into our sector, which will be very helpful for all those other items we've been discussing, including IPOs and issuances and secondaries and all that fun stuff. So I think macro trends are the biggest ones right now. And then, of course, it's going to come down to very specific sectors and if the fundamentals of those sectors continue to perform. Following that yield curve is super important. We're going to follow that yield curve, and hopefully the Fed and his friends are going to help us on that path. But we do expect to see correction in pricing on all the major food groups, most from my perspective, multifamily. I think there's not enough supply of housing in the country in terms of another theme. So I do believe that residential will do very well, whether that be multifamily or resident or home building or manufactured housing or single family rental companies. I think all of those sectors will do fairly well. And I think, again, it's going to be sector specific, but fundamentals are strong. They continue to be strong. And watching the yield curve and the macro environment and how that impacts liquidity into our sector is really going to be the driving force to see how well we could do.
Steve, thank you so much. We've touched on lots of great points today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. Really appreciate it.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.